Well, good morning, everyone. And this is Donna. And I want to welcome you to day two of our 21 days empowering you for breakthrough. Really excited to see some of the interaction that's beginning to happen on the Facebook group. Be sure that you're part of that. People are sharing the requests. They're sharing what God is speaking to them. And it's really just been powerful. And I know that we're just getting underway. I want to make sure that Dana Allen is on the line and on the host line so we can hear you. Dana, are you with us?
I am with you. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Dana, can you go ahead and open us in prayer? Just usher
Absolutely.
Us into the presence.
Father God, Lord, we bless you. We praise your holy name. We invite your presence into this time that we have together. We thank you, Father God, that your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are right here in our midst, so we don't have to invite you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and that you would speak to each woman a right now word. You alone, Father, know each and every situation and circumstance that we're facing. You know the breakthrough that we're pressing in for, and you have the answer. We thank you. We thank you that you're not withholding the answer, that you have it ready and available for us. Help us to speak your words, Lord. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So I'm going to do a real brief teaching, and then Deanna is going to share her word for the day. Each day as we do the journey, she's going to have a word and a devotional, and then I think I've figured out how to open up the lines. I haven't done this in so long, I've forgotten. So we're going to open up the lines, and we're really going to try to interact and pray over one of you, because we're here for your breakthrough. We believe that God has given us a word. Deanna and I, like everybody, we have areas in our life where we want breakthrough. And we feel like the Lord said to us, look, if you want a breakthrough, forget about yourself, concentrate on me, and help other people get their breakthrough. And while you're busy about my business, I'm going to take care of your business. So that's the way God works. And so we're here, and we want to empower you, obviously corporately through the teaching and the release of the word and the devotionals, but we also want to minister as much as we can on an individual basis and see those of you just come into breakthrough. We're believing for huge, huge victories. You know, yesterday I said that this is a time, it needs to be a time of fasting, because apart from fasting, there's not going to be breakthrough. Jesus said this kind, these bondages, these addictions, these deep-seated areas of our life where we feel stuck, that kind is only going to go out by prayer and fasting. So these 21 days, you need to be fasting. We talked about that extensively yesterday. But I said it's also a time of spiritually feasting. You know, very often, when we starve ourselves spiritually, something inside of us will often drive us to feed physically. And some of us feed on food. Some of us feed on media. Some of us feed on idle conversation. But there's something within us that knows we're hungry. And if we don't feed ourselves spiritually, we're going to feed ourselves in other ways. And that's how these addictions really do pop up. Maybe we're feeding on alcohol, whatever it is, whatever that bondage is in your life. I truly believe that as you engage in spiritual feasting, you'll be less hungry for those other things. And you're going to see what we talked about yesterday, where you get into that fasting zone, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. You are disconnected from those physical bondages. You're disconnected from the physical realm and the things that you're tempted to run to, and you begin to connect with God and his presence in a more powerful way. And we said that feast, F stood for fasting. E was enumerating our sins and really what it's costing us to remain less than what God would have us be. A is an attitude of humility. S is sharing. You can't take this journey alone. And then T, I hope that wasn't me dropping off the line. No, it looks like I'm still here. T was time, extensive time in God's presence. And I talked quite a bit, probably longer than I should have. We went an hour yesterday. We won't do that today, about F and E, fasting and enumerating. And so I wanted to pick up today with that attitude of humility. One of the most powerful books I ever read, I found for $1 on a liquidation table at a Christian bookstore, and it was Humility by Andrew Mary. Andrew Mary is like, oh, he was born in Scotland and became a missionary in South Africa. I believe he was born in 1829. Powerful man of God. I would say, I want the outhouse. I want the shack behind his mansion in heaven. That would be cool. If I could just be there, that would be my spot. And he just has such a way. And his book, Humility, he shares this prayer. And I've made this my prayer for the month of January. And I want to share it with you. Father in heaven, please send the Holy Spirit, because of your great goodness and for the sake of your kingdom and reputation, reveal to me and remove from my heart every kind, form, and degree of pride, whether it be from evil spirits or my own corrupt nature. Awaken in me the deepest depth and truth of the power of true humility, which can make me capable of being a shining light filled daily with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Deliver me from all pride disguised as false, and I added this, deliver me from all pride disguised as false humility. Amen. And so there really is power in walking in humility. And I spent most of my Christian life deceived by the enemy into thinking that self-loathing, low self-esteem, all that was true humility, and it's not. It's false humility, and it's actually pride. Now, I shared yesterday, some of you heard, I've lost my glasses, so I can't read and I can't write. And it's kind of an interesting situation to be in teaching this series, and so I'm just having to totally trust God to lead me. And as a result, since I can't really read or write, I'm relying on what I used to do in college, which was acronyms. So yesterday we had Feast, and today we have an acronym for pride. Are you ready? Where the P stands for peacocking. This is the way pride, it's so clever. The devil is so clever. This is how pride shows up in our lives. P is peacocking. R is rehearsing. I is insecurity. D is divisiveness. And E is entitlement. I'm going to go out and do a brief teaching on each of those. But what the Lord is showing me, and I'm going to teach more about spiritual atmosphere in a future session, but pride was the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. Pride is the chief of sins. I know we think adultery is the chief of sins, and we think, you know, homosexuality or murder or abortion or all the, and these are all sins, but the truth is that pride is the prince of sins. Pride is at the root of every sin we commit. Let's just go down the list of the things. Pride. Why do we have an abortion? Pride. I don't want people to know I got pregnant out of wedlock. I can have an abortion. Murder. Pride. I have the right to decide when another human being's life ends. Adultery. Pride. I'm entitled to have this romance because my spouse isn't loving me the way I want to be loved. Stealing. Pride. I'm entitled to this. I deserve it. You shouldn't have it when I didn't. I mean, I literally sat down early in January and played this game that all roads lead back to pride. You can take any sin in your life, any sin on planet Earth, and if you trace it back far enough, it'll come back to pride. Deanna shared yesterday a great insight that she shared. Just keep asking the question, why? I committed adultery. Why? Because I felt lonely. Why? Because my husband wasn't treating me right. Why? Because I think I deserve to be treated a certain way. Why? Because I'm prideful. I mean, I'm telling you, trace them all back, and you will get the prince of sins, the root of it all, Satan himself, the sin of pride. Peacocking. Now, that's the obvious. You know, that person who's like, you know I got it. I know I'm it. I've got all spiritual, if it's in the church, I've got all spiritual insight, and I can do whatever I want. I can treat people however I want. It's kind of the demanding, the domineering. You know, you hear the stories about, you know, behind the scenes, how your favorite preacher really treats people and really acts. You know, we saw this when I was in ministry and I was traveling on the big tours. We had taken in a little homeless girl who, you know, had bright red hair. She looked like Bernadette Peters. So she didn't look a doggone thing like me. And we would see how certain people would treat her before they found out that she was my adopted daughter, and then how they treated her when they found out that she was my daughter. That's pride. If you treat people one way when you think they're important and treat them another way when you're, oh, they're not important, that's pride. And peacocking is the most obvious form of pride. We recognize it. But the devil is just not that, he's more clever than that. Pride can also show up in rehearsing. Worry is rehearsing a situation over and over again, and it's really just pride. We think, if I play this over and over in my mind enough times, I will be able to figure out a solution. God can't figure out a solution. He's not big enough to solve this. God's not big enough to handle it. So I'm just going to have to figure it out on my own, and I'll just play it over and over again. Figuring it out is the opposite of faith. Figuring it out and trying to come up with a solution is the opposite of humility. It's the opposite of walking in humble trust and patience and faith and saying, you know what? I know that God is going to figure out this situation. God is going to resolve my problem. I'm just going to be humbly obedient to whatever he puts in front of me for today, and I'm going to let God take care of the future. That is true humility. You know, God, whenever we're going through something, whether it's a moment where someone has made us angry, someone has offended us, overlooked us, let us down, failed us in some way, or we have a season where we're going through extensive, maybe a child is sick or financial challenges, or we have a prodigal child, and so maybe it's a season of difficulty, God gives us grace in that moment to walk through it. Or in that season, he will give us the grace, if we let him, to walk through it. But do you know that there is no grace for the replay? Let that sink in. There's no grace for the replay. So that after the situation is over, when we replay it in our head over and over and rehearse what happened and how they talked to us and what went wrong and what we could have done differently, there is no grace from God. Because it's nothing but pride. You can't turn back time. You and Cher are in the same boat here. We can't turn back time. If only I'd done it differently. But you didn't, because you're a human being, and human beings are flawed, and you can't change a thing by rehearsing it. And we need to be humble enough to acknowledge, you know what, Lord? In the future, I'll do it differently, but it is what it is, and I trust you, God, to be the Redeemer, to be the Restorer, to be who you say you are, to be God where I can't be God, to make the high places low and the low places high and to make it level. God, you can do that. I can't, and so I'm not going to rehearse it anymore. We look back and say, well, how could that happen to me? How could she treat me like that? Me. It's pride. How could they treat you like that? Well, because since the dawn of time, human beings have been treating each other badly. You're not exempt from that. It's called the human condition. But there's grace. There's not an exemption from suffering. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have difficulty. You will have hardship. People will treat you unkindly. You're not exempt, but there is grace to walk through it in a way that honors God. But it's not in pride. It's in humility. It will walk in the spirit of humility. I is for insecurity. Oh, the devil had me fooled. Joyce Meyer said this the other day. Some of us wear insecurity like a badge of honor. Oh, I'm just insecure. And that means I'm humble. No. Insecurity is all about me. I want to be secure in my ability to handle everything perfectly. No, that's just pride. That's just pride. Of course I'm going to say dumb things. People say dumb things all the time. I'm not exempt from that. Of course I'm going to make myself look foolish sometimes. No one's exempt from that. And we have to be humble enough to acknowledge, well, you know what, Lord, I'm going to blow it sometimes. But your grace is enough for me. Insecurity is focused on yourself. I kind of talked about that yesterday. But pray about it. Insecurity is not humility. Low self-esteem is not humility. Low self-esteem is pride, and the devil's just fooling us. I'm just not good enough. Yeah, okay, of course you're not good enough. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And when you lean and rely on him, his grace is sufficient. But no, I mean, of course not. Left to your own devices, we'll all make a mess of things. D is for divisiveness. Oh, come on. Now we got to get people on our side. When there's a conflict, we've got to give our version of events. We've got to get on the phone, and we got to call Susie Schmoozy and tell her what happened, and we've got to marshal our little army of people who will agree with it. This is what destroys churches. It's nothing but pride. It's nothing but pride. Listen, God is our vindicator. God is our defender. You don't need to get anybody to agree with you. You don't need anybody to say, you're absolutely right. Your husband's absolutely wrong. You're right. The pastor's wrong. You're right. Your mother-in-law's wrong. You don't need that if you walk in humility. Only pride needs to prove that we're right and marshal our little group that's going to be on our side of things. I'm telling you, the devil is, he's just a little skunk, isn't he? I mean, he's got us fooled. E is for entitlement. You owe me. You owe me. The world owes me. God owes me. Why isn't God answering my prayer? I prayed. Now, God needs to give the program an answer. Listen, Jesus prayed, if possible, let this cup pass for me. And you know what the Father said? Sorry, that one's not possible. The Apostle Paul said, Lord, if possible, could you take this thorn from me? And God said, sorry, but that's not possible, because my will and my plan for your life is something different. And so many of us are out there praying, Lord, this is my prayer request. It's my agenda. I keep bringing it to you. I'm persevering in prayer. And now you owe me, God. You have to answer. I love you. I serve you. Now get with it. And sometimes the Lord says, you know what? The answer's going to be a no on that one, because it's outside of my plan and will for you. I mean, God loves to say yes, but sometimes he just flat out says no. Humility is willing to accept that the only thing that we're entitled to is eternity in hell. And everything that we have and all that we are, every gift, every talent, every blessing, all that we are and all that we have is just a gift from the grace and the mercy of God. And we need to walk in humility and say, Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. But with you and through you, I can do all that you've called me to do. You know, three words of warning. Write these down. If you hear yourself uttering these three words of warning, you could be in the danger zone. I can't believe. I can't believe. If you hear those three words playing in your mind or coming out of your mouth, it's pride. I can't believe she talked to me like that. I can't believe he treated me like that. I can't believe that this is happening to me. That's his pride, because you should believe it. Look at the Bible, what happened to God's people. Look at church history. Look around you. All throughout, people have had to go through tough things. Other people have treated, they crucified Jesus. Can you believe that one? Don't be surprised. The Bible says don't be surprised by the fiery trials that you're facing. You live in a fallen world with messed up people. You should believe anything. I can't believe my kids rebelled. Believe it. Billy Graham's son rebelled. God's first two kids rebelled. So you shouldn't be surprised that your kids rebelled. Kids rebel. It happens. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I come to you. I know you're able, and I believe that you're going to do a work, and press into him. Believe it. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. We can't overcome the world, but through Christ we can. And when we learn to walk in an attitude of humility, even in the middle of the storm, we can have God's peace. Okay, Deanna, you have a word for today. Will you share it with us?
I will. And first, I'm going to be obedient. At the end, it might kind of seem all over the place. I'm going to try to wrap it beautifully, because I just, as I get words as you're speaking, when you and I had first talked about just pride, you know, the master of disguise, I went and I looked in the Bible for the verse where it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. So I want to share that verse just for women to chew on. It's 1 John 2:16-17, and this really gives the answer, you know, the why to the pride. So in verse 15 it says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we can't force ourselves to believe something. It's like trying to give away something that you don't own. So I really feel like in this 21 days as women are fasting, this is a key here. You know, God wants us to experience a love revolution in these 21 days. Focus on him. Focus on him. Focus on him. Where's your source? Who supplies your needs? You know, woman after woman after woman on the board posted financial breakthrough, job, financial breakthrough. You know, all of those things point to that eye you just talked about, insecurity. We get freaked out when we feel like we're not going to be provided for. Fear comes in. Every kind of wild imagination. You know what I went through with our, you know, foreclosures, sitting on top of the world, owning multiple properties as real estate investors, everything tipped upside down. Yes, in this world, you will have tribulation. Who's my provider? Where is my security? Was it in my 5 houses? That was challenged. Yes, it was. Was it sitting in lots of equity, feeling, you know, that big financial cushion of peace? Yes, it was. When that got rocked and turned upside down, where was my true north? Well, I really had to face that. So it says, the love of the Father is not in him if we love the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So I just wanted to share that. And then what God was saying as you were speaking, just focus on me. Focus on me. Focus on me. And here's the word for today. Yesterday's word was believe. Today's word is mighty. Mighty. Love that song, Mighty to Save. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save." Isaiah 35:3-4, "Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. He will come and save you." And then this devotional just kind of came out as my own personal groaning. God, I can't handle anymore. Just when I think I've been hit so hard, I will surely fall, I get hit again. I know it's Satan the thief whose plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. I know he is a liar. I know he is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I know these things. And although when it's others, I'm able to encourage them, strengthen them, and offer them wisdom and strength, but right now it's me. I'm weary of the battle, Lord. I'm doing my best, as your word says, to not grow weary in doing what is right, but I can't fight this battle anymore, Lord. I'm giving this battle to you. You are mighty to save. This battle is yours, Lord. I am at your feet, Jesus, ready to rest in knowing that you are my shield, my comfort, my tower of refuge and strength. Today, I will rest in you, while you fight my battles and conquer my enemy. Sit.
Amen. Amen. That was powerful. Anything else you want to share before I see if we can find our famous Carla Martin?
No.
Carla, if you are there, would you please hit *6 and announce yourself?
Good morning. This is
You're
Carla.
There.
Oh, thank you so much. This is powerful and helpful.
Carla,
helpful.
Would you share just very briefly what you would feel comfortable out of it? You know, you sent us an email. Just kind of recap what you feel comfortable sharing. I have something, and I know Dan also has something that she wants to share because we've read your letter and prayed over it. But would you just share with the ladies as much as you're comfortable sharing?
Yes, I shared that one of the things that I shared was that my finances, you know, I had mismanaged some things and needed to get some order. the other thing I had shared was that my son was expelled from high school and really needed to know what to do. And then the other was just simply personal in my own call to ministry, being feeling not adequate, I guess is what I'll say, feeling not adequate or not good enough to do it because of some words that were told to me and spoken over me in my youth. And there was a scripture that says that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and that word plays in my head. So when I, as a child, think of folks in ministry, you know, that is a big call, and there could not be me, because if I did, then I would be thinking more highly of myself than I ought to. I mean, I know that sounds kind of, I don't know, interesting. I don't know what to really say, a little nervous. But, you know, these are things that are just really, really weighing heavy on me right now, really, especially like with my son, and just knowing the direction to take, and that even in him, that maybe this thing that has been spoken over me has now played out in him. And I want to be able to give it to God, but I'm wrestling really bad with all of it. And, just really need a breakthrough.
Deanna, you had some things you wanted to share, and want to go ahead and pray over her, and then I want to do the same.
Yeah, I actually, there's an exercise that I want to encourage any and all of you ladies that really struggle with how you see yourself. I'll just keep it really brief. I was in residential treatment, a women's program, many years ago for my addiction to methamphetamines, and I just wanted to get clean and go home and be a mom. And my counselor could really see that I was not able to love myself. And, you know, I was so filled with pride, thought I was good looking, had, you know, relationship addiction. So that didn't cross my mind. I thought, you know, I was really full of love for myself. And one day she just said, Deanna, you know, here's your assignment. Until you do it, we're not moving on from this. I want you to go into the bathroom, and I want you to look yourself in the mirror, really look into your eyes and just say, I love you, Deanna. And I thought, you know, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. What does this have to do with, you know, me getting clean? And it irritated me. And, of course, you know, I wasn't going to do it. I was going to rebel against authority. But later that day in my quiet time, I had to use the restroom, and I really became aware. I had never even recognized that I avoided looking at me, you know, other than when I was putting on my makeup very quickly. I walked into the bathroom and suddenly I felt this, like, I thought there was a monster in there with me. I just would not look in the mirror. And then I started getting really angry. Like, what is this? Why, you know, did she do this to me? And I thought, you know, I can do this. I couldn't do it. And for days I wrestled, and, you know, I'd show up for group and for personal time, and she'd say, you haven't done it yet. And, you know, I really had to come to that place of asking God, what is it that I don't like about me? You know, I was verbally abused and physically abused and sexually abused. So there was a lot of other stuff that was put on me and in me about what I believed about myself. And so I just encourage you ladies, you know, have that confrontation with that self-loathing until the love of God overcomes you. And you can love you the way God loves you. And that when you look in the mirror, what you will see is the beauty of his reflection, not the horrible things that have happened to you, not, you know, through the lenses of guilt and condemnation, all the horrible things you've done. But if, you know, they really knew, what would they think? I mean, take the mask off and behold the fearfully and wonderfully made creation that you are, that reflects the image of God. So that's kind of a challenge from the Lord. Carla, there were two other verses that I wanted to share with you, just as you have this breakthrough. Psalm 38:10 says, my heart pounds, my strength fails me, even the light has gone from my eyes. So the Holy Spirit has already put his thumb on an area of your life where your light was dimmed. You know, those words were spoken over you. Do not think more highly of yourself, you know, than you ought. You know, think of yourself as lowly, think of yourself as lowly, and eventually that, you know, has taken some of the light out of your eyes, these your son getting kicked out of school, same thing. And then Psalm 43:3 says, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Face these lies that you have come into agreement with truth. You know, these thoughts have become imaginations that have now exalted themselves above the word of God. This is not what God says about you. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Stop dwelling in that voice that says, you know, that you deserve less, that, you know, you deserve to be poor, that because your financial mistakes, you know, you deserve to be a pauper or devastated. Or, yes, you need to do things neatly and orderly and be responsible, but you need the light and the truth of Jesus to guide you. You need them to bring you to his holy mountain, to the place where he dwells. And that's where you need to really challenge those beliefs. That was it. Don, anything else you have? And then we'll just pray out.
Yeah, it just goes to show how ingenious Satan is and how clever he is at lying to us. See, the real lie when we are in self-loathing and self-hatred and low self-esteem and getting out of balance with things like don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, it's the entitlement that I just talked about. I'm entitled to be sinless and flawless, and because I'm not, I hate myself. I'm entitled to be the perfect human being who never screams at my kids. I'm entitled to manage my money perfectly. I'm entitled to do all these things exactly right. And because I haven't, because I'm just a frail human being who blows it and makes mistakes, I hate me. It's pride. It's pride. You need to be able, as Dana said, look in the mirror and say, you know what? I've made a boatload of mistakes. But it's not about my mistakes. It's about how God sees me. And he sees me in arrayed in robes of righteousness. I'm justified before God because of what Christ did. God doesn't love me because I'm perfect. He loves me because he's good. And I don't love me because I'm perfect. I love and accept myself because God created me in his image and called me to be his own. And that's where the balance is. And it's not like one of those things where we're going to get it in a half hour, but that's what we need to press into. We need to look full in his wonderful face so that the things of this world, including all of our failures, shortcomings, weaknesses, mismanagement, all of those things need to grow strangely dim. And we need to just agree with God and say, yep, I agree with you, God. I should have handled that differently. I agree with you, God. I yelled at my kids. I agree with you, God. I passed on word curses. I agree with you, God. Let's break it, and today is a new day. Not because I'm perfect, but because you're perfect. And you know, this can take more than 21 days, but let's begin praying into this. And I wanted to share something, kind of a funny story, and then Deanna and I will both pray a blessing and a breakthrough prayer over you, Carla. Thank you for your courage in sharing, by the way. One of the things that the Lord is showing me is that rejection, I've had a lot of rejection in my life, and I'll do a whole day on it, but rejection is often protection when we're heading in the wrong direction. So you feel like your son was rejected by that school and expelled, but it wouldn't be too hard for me to imagine that it was actually God's protection because he might have been heading in the wrong direction. And maybe if he we're not God, maybe if he stayed in that school, he would have gotten involved with some kid who was involved with drugs, and that kid would have given him bath salts or whatever the latest drug is, and your son would have died. We don't know. And we need to be humble enough to say, Lord, I don't know why my son's been expelled. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem fair. I don't know where you are, but God, I trust you, and I know that you love my son more than I ever could. And maybe there's a new direction that God has for your son, and I believe that he will show that to you. One thing I know for certain, God hasn't given up on your son, and he's not surprised that he was expelled from that school. Mm-hmm. He knew, he's apart from time, and he knew before your son was born that that was going to happen. And he's got a plan, and it's plan A. It's not second best. and I believe that God is going to show that to you. I'm going to skip the story, and just, Deanna, would you lead off in prayer, and I will close, and that will be a wrap for today. Pray a blessing over Carla, but also over all the women, and then I'll pray and close.
Father God, Lord, I thank you for Carla. I thank you, Lord, for her hunger and thirst to be healed in some of these deep places. I thank you, God, that you answer our prayers. I thank you that you know our prayers before they even hit our lips. I thank you, God, for the truth and the balance of your word. Father God, your word says that in your word is power and life, that your word needs to be rightly divided. I thank you that your word says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of ourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that you have given us. So, Father God, for all of us who have, you know, flipped that verse around and ended up thinking of ourselves more lowly than we ought to, because we were just told don't think more highly than we ought to, and the word stopped there, Lord, help us to believe what you believe about us. You see us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You said that our sins are as far away as the east is from the west, that you've cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, that the blood of Jesus has washed us clean. You see us clean, pure as snow, Father God. And so I pray that you would help us to see ourselves through the blood of Jesus, not through the stains of this world. I ask that you would help us to walk in our calling as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to understand that we are your children. We are your children. We are your daughters. We are joint heirs with Christ to your kingdom. We have our inheritance now. It is now, and we pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth through us, as it is in heaven. Bring your kingdom through us into earth. I ask, Father God, that you would give Carla and her son wisdom, peace, and courage to walk out what is directly ahead. You said that your word is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, so you illuminate. Their steps are ordered. You illuminate what is to come next. And I pray that they would have the peace and the understanding for each of us that are facing difficult situations, that we would place all of our faith and our trust in you, that we would not try to think 25 steps up ahead. We would just say, God, I don't see what's directly ahead, but I know you've gone ahead because you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher. You've already seen the end from the beginning. I haven't, so I'm taking one step towards you and in you, and I'm trusting you for breakthrough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for Carla. Father, I thank you that she is anointed and she is appointed and she is filled with the very presence of the living God. I thank you that she can look in the mirror today and say, I agree with you. I agree with you. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. I'm not perfect. It's okay, because it's not about Carla. It's about Christ in her, the hope of glory. It's not about the baggage that she carries. It's about the Christ that she carries. Lord, I thank you that she's not merely a follower of Christ, but she's a carrier of Christ, Christ in her. And through him, she can do all things because he gives her strength. Lord, I thank you that it's not about her and that you would set her free from the yoke of insecurity and low self-esteem and regret and the mistakes that she's made. Okay, so what? That's all behind her. We've all made mistakes. Father, I think of that verse in Leviticus that just set me free. You were speaking of the Israelites, and you say to them, I came and I set you free, and I broke the chains of your bondage. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your heads held high. And Lord, I thank you that the call upon Carla's life, the call upon her son's life, is to allow you to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, and empower them to walk with their heads held high. Father, I thank you that her son has not been rejected by that school. He has been accepted into your school of discipline, your school of training, your school of discipleship. I thank you that Carla does not allow any kind of a
stigma to come upon her son, but that she celebrates that God has liberated her son from the bondage of having to be in that school every day. And you didn't want him there, God. You set him free from that yoke of being in a place that would not empower him to become the mighty, yes, the mighty man of God that you've called him to be. Lord, we don't agree with the school. We agree with your word, and your word says that the generation of the upright will be blessed. Your word says that the generation of the upright will be mighty in the land. And Lord, I know just from her email that Carla walks upright, not perfect, but she walks before her God and desires to serve you. And so we stand on your word. We don't care what the school says. We don't care what the school says or what they accuse him of. I don't even care if he's guilty. I don't care. What I care about is your word, and your word says that that young man will be mighty in the land. And I pray that you would put a spirit of celebration in Carla's heart, that she would not see this in any way as a defeat or a setback, but that she would dance with joy, that she would celebrate before her God that her son has been set free from a place that he did not need to be in, and that you have set his feet in a spacious place, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose for this young man. I pray for Carla, and I release her into the anointing. I release her into the ministry that you have for her because of who Christ is within her. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a wrap, sisters. We'll see you tomorrow, empowering you for breakthrough. Amen.